Today's reading is taken from 1 Corinthians 9, verses 16 to 23, and can be found on page 1150 in the Church Bibles. For when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, since I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel. If I preach voluntarily, I have a reward. If not voluntarily, I am simply discharging the trust committed to me. What then is my reward? Just this, that in preaching the gospel, I may offer it free of charge, and so not make full use of my rights as a preacher of the gospel. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews I became like a Jew to win Jews. To those under the law I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak I became weak to win the weak. I've become all things to all people, so that by all means possible I may save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The reading comes from the book of Mark, Mark 1, 29 to 39. It can be found in the Green Bibles on page 1003. 1003. I start to read. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the house of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. This is the word of God.
Lord, we thank you for our sister from Malaya, and Lord, we pray that you would bless her now, that you would strengthen the conviction of the word that you have placed upon her heart, and that we would have ears to hear your voice this morning. Lord, we pray that you would speak through her and that we would hear. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. That's the prayer. Thank the Lord. Today, that's better. Today, I'm going to ask you to place yourself alongside the first four disciples called by Jesus, Simon and his brother Andrew and James and John. You have also said yes to following him, and you have journeyed with him to Capernaum. You have seen his power as he silenced the unclean spirit in the synagogue. You have heard the powerful teaching, and you are so proud that this is the teacher that you are following. And in all that is happening and about to happen, I'm going to ask you, just keep looking at Jesus. Have you got that? So in all that I'm saying, all that's going to be happening here, yes, listen to me, but I would like you to visualize Jesus. Is that okay? Mm-hmm. All right. So Jesus and his first four disciples, they go to Simon and Andrew's house. Are we there? Yeah. And question, was he there just to rest after his time at the synagogue? Was he there to get to know them more? He's just, you know, called them not long ago. Was he get to build a friendship, a relationship with them? For those who follow Jesus, expect him to go into your house. Expect him to come into your home. Yes, while it is you that is following Jesus, he is also a leader who will come to your house. Here is Jesus who comes to get close and personal with his followers. My question to you today, will you let Jesus enter your house? So keep looking at Jesus. Immediately, I'm not sure if they allowed him to sit down. I'm not sure if they allowed him to wash his feet or even to have a drink after all that he's just been doing. And so the first thing they tell him is about Simon's mother-in-law being sick with fever. They did not waste time, but quickly told him what their need was. And Jesus was neither surprised, neither was he irritated, neither was he annoyed about this. According to the Talmud, which provides Jewish and civil ceremonial law, to deal with a fever of this type, which is still a fever that they experience today, a knife made wholly of iron would be tied by a braid of hair to a thorn bush. Then they will say a certain magical formula will be pronounced over it, and then they will expect a cure to be achieved. Maybe Simon and his and Andrew, good Jewish men, maybe they had tried this. But Jesus completely disregarded all the paraphernalia of popular magic, and with a gesture and a word of unique authority and power, he healed the woman. And Mark wrote, we heard, and he came and he took her by the hand, lifted her, and the fever left her. Jesus doesn't need any magical potion or formula. He is power all by himself. In our homes and in the homes of our hearts, can this be an encouragement that when Jesus is present, get rid of all the niceties. Get rid of being shy. Quickly tell him what the problem is. Tell him quickly who is sick in your house. Tell him quickly what the sickness is. Don't wait. They did not wait for him to sit down. They immediately told him, our mother-in-law is sick. Don't wait to be good. Don't wait to think, I have to go to church for this long. I have to pray for this long. I have to do this for this long. Quickly tell him what the sickness is. Maybe we have tried other things to heal our lives, the sickness of our soul, and we are still sick. We have taken the advice of others, try this, try that, but the sickness hasn't gone. Keep looking at Jesus. It's time to tell him what the sickness is. Is it time to receive the hand of Jesus and be lifted up from the place of sickness? Jesus met the need of one woman. Jesus, he is still looking to meet the need of one. And I wonder, if they did not tell Jesus about her, would he have gone to wherever she was lying to meet her? I wonder. Jesus comes on invitation. Is there anyone that you need to invite Jesus to come to? Is there anyone that we need to say, Jesus, so person is sick with this, for him to come? Because Jesus comes on invitation. And we are told, following that, she caught up and began to serve them. That was the first thing she did. The healing she received wasn't just about the healing of her physical body or fever. She received the healing from Jesus that gave her life, gave her back her purpose. And her purpose for her was to serve. A life where the greatest of all are servants. So Jesus is not just about healing our physical body. He's all about putting back the purpose to which we have been made, giving it back to us that we can be the people that he's called us to be, to serve. Are you still looking at Jesus? Whilst looking at him, can you also look at the woman? Can you see her? See Jesus, see the simplicity and power that he demonstrated. See the response of the woman. She has received from Jesus. Now she gives back what she has to give. Her service. When we respond to Jesus in gratitude, don't try and give Jesus what you cannot give. Give to Jesus only what you have to give. What you have to give, give that back to him. And for her, it was to serve them with drinks and with snacks. That was what she had, and that was good for Jesus. So don't think that, okay, my response, I'm going to give this amount of money, I'm going to do this, I'm going to go on a mission. Can you do that? Is it in you to do? If it's not in you to do, don't do it. Give what you have to give to Jesus. Jesus has rested now. And I'm sure by now he's got to know the disciples with him and everyone else that's in that house. But sundown comes and the work begins again. And Mark tells us, all who were sick and oppressed by demons were brought to him. The whole city gathered at the door. And I'm sure this is an exaggeration by Mark, but it tells us that all those who were in need, they knew Jesus to be the one to whom they should go to. They had heard that he was in the house of Simon and Andrew, and they all gathered at the door. And this is exactly what we want as a church, isn't it? For people all over Bado, for people all over Chelmsford, to hear that Jesus is in this place. So bring your sick, bring your oppressed, because they have heard of what Jesus can do. So come, come to the house, come to Midgate, and see what Jesus can do. And isn't that what we're experiencing at the church? People are walking to the cafe. They're coming with their kids. They're coming with their problems. And they are received with a warm welcome. They are received with time, a smile. And for some of them, maybe they'll get a prayer. They've come. And we want everyone that comes here, we want them all to receive healing, to be free, to be who God has made them, to be liberated from every contrary spirit. But in the passage, Mark tells his readers, though all gathered, and he healed many who were sick. He healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And a Bible scholar says this, and Jesus heals freely with no strings attached to those healings. He does not demand that people believe he is the anointed one, none do, or even believe in the Jewish God. He does not require a person to be morally good. Jesus does not expect a gain personally from healing, for he never asks anyone he heals to follow him. Usually he orders them, often harshly, to keep quiet or go home. They proclaim or follow on their own. And Jesus does not consider either action a condition for healing. The healing for all who come here is from Jesus. And I believe that Simon and his brother and all who lived in that house would have made their house a welcoming, a hospitable place for all who gathered. And isn't that what our mission statement is about, being hospitable, being welcoming? Keep looking at Jesus. You may question, but Jesus, I'm looking at you. All in this village have gathered. But why didn't you heal all? Surely you have the power to do so. We don't know why. But we can be assured of this, that Jesus saw every single person. Jesus looked at every single person. Not one person that gathered that door was dismissed by Jesus. He saw them. Everything is by grace. He will do what he wants to do. So I wonder for you here at Midgate, you may not get to see the desired outcome for each person that walks through those doors, for them to be healed and for them to be free of their pain. That responsibility is not for you to take on, but it is your responsibility to see each person. It is your responsibility to love each person that comes in here. It is your responsibility to welcome them in. It is your responsibility to direct them to Jesus and let Jesus do what he wants to do. Some may receive healing from this place and never come back. It is easy to feel disappointed and even utter within after all we've done for them and invested in them, and they've gone. How ungrateful. But I ask you, look to Jesus. Look at how he responded to them. Look at how he responded to those who has done things for but never came back again. So keep looking to Jesus. Then Jesus goes to pray very early the next day whilst it was still dark. He should be tired and deserving of a lie-in. How many of us feel that I've served all day, I've given out all day, I'm tired. I'll do my prayers later, and that later doesn't come because of the business of the day. David Kuzak, a Bible commentator, says this: Jesus did not need to pray because he was weak, but because he was strong. And the source of his strength was his relationship with God, his Father. Jesus knew that pressure and busyness should drive us towards prayer, not from prayer. Prayer in a quiet, deserted place was a way of life for Jesus. And as I say this, please continue to keep your eyes on him. Personal quiet time of prayer is important. None of us can ever be as busy as Jesus. In prayer, we get the strength to move on and listen to what the Father has to say to us. So I ask of you, do we need to create more personal quiet prayer time? It's funny, last night I went to bed quite late, late for me, past 12. And I knew I was coming here, I knew I didn't have 8 a.m. service, so I didn't have to get up too early. So I knew I could have a lie-in. And having prepared this, and I was lying down in bed about 5 a.m., and I kept hearing in my head, and Jesus got up while it was still dark. And I was like, no. And I was like, okay, let me just wait a little while. Let me just wait. 5:30. And Jesus got up while it was still dark. I was like, okay, I've got to get up. I've got to get up. I didn't do what he did yesterday. I've got to get up. So I got up while it was still dark. I'll also use this time of we're talking about prayer to mention the prayer meeting that's taking place tomorrow. It's not just about the choir prayer time that we meet, but it's also the corporate prayer time that we have together. As Tim often says, it's going to be good. I'll be there. Will you come? Will you come to prayer meeting? Will you come? Keep looking to Jesus. If we want to follow his example, let's follow him fully. His prayer meeting tomorrow is going to be good. I'll be there, and I will be there because I'm not the other one tomorrow. So it's going to be good. What happens next leads to my final point. Simon and the others went with him, went hunting for him in a desperate search for Jesus. Why? Because everyone is looking for him. He is popular. In our modern term, we can say that Jesus has gone viral. Big companies today would be looking for him to advertise, for them to advertise through him because he is so big. But what does Jesus say? Let's go to the neighboring towns that I may preach there also. Maybe this is the place where you have the mic drop. Jesus, everyone is looking for you. And he says, let's go to the neighboring towns. Jesus wasn't going to stay and ride the crest of his popularity there. His ministry was to preach all across Galilee. His ministry was not being famous or enjoying the fame. Jesus was not going to be led by people. But Jesus was going to be led by his mission on earth so that I may proclaim the message there. For that is what I came to do. And so he went. Jesus wanted his followers to see that the healing and deliverance were minor. They were an offshoot of the main purpose, the proclamation of the gospel. The good news of the kingdom of God, the need for repentance for them to know the love of Jesus, the love of God. In all that is being done here at Midgate, no matter how popular Midgate gets, the good news of Jesus, the good news of the kingdom of God in Christ should never, ever be lost in all the great things that is done here at Midgate. That is why Paul was able to say, woe to me if I do not proclaim the gospel. Because this is what we are called to do by our lives and by our conduct and by our words. Jesus did not depart from his mission that he said in Luke chapter 4. He says, I came to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, for the oppressed to be free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Everything that Jesus did, all the proclamation, all the release of the captives, the blind being made to see, the oppressed being free, all of that was pointing to one message, the proclamation of the Lord's year, the kingdom of God. Jesus never departed from it. That's why he came. So as I close with this word, trust Jesus to meet the one. Maybe you are that one. Trust Jesus to meet the many. Learn from him in prayer, and may each one of us be the good news carriers of Jesus Christ. Amen.
I shall certainly be taking that off into my week to ponder upon. Thank you ever so much for Malai for speaking to us. If that has touched your heart and you would like prayer for that or anything else, or you've come with anything else, just a reminder that our prayer team will be here during the last songs to pray for anybody who's come with any need this morning. So just that reminder that that's there. If Malai, if what